Hello and welcome to another episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. On today's episode, I talk to inspirational Mandarin teacher and founder of the website mslmaster.com, April Zhang. April is also the brains behind the annual Chinese Writing Contest, a competition for Chinese learners of all levels who are invited to write a story using only 320 characters. The winners of the competition will then have their story published in a book. Last year, 82 submissions were received, and the best 17 entries were published as a book. These newly published authors were from 8 different countries and regions around the world. So this year, the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast and website are proud collaborators of the competition. So I encourage all of you to take part, to connect with other learners from around the world, and also for the chance to become a published Chinese author. I spoke to April about her background in teaching Chinese, her inspirations for starting the competition, as well as details of how those interested in participating can enter. More details are also available in the link provided in the description to this podcast. Okay, so April, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Misha. It's really awesome to be here.
Perfect. So I wanted to start by asking you about why you became a teacher in the first place, so when you became a teacher and what inspired you to go into teaching.
Well, that was a long story. But to cut it short, I used to be an English teacher. And it was because my English learning experience was terrible. I started learning English like everybody else, like from middle school all the way to university. I've studied English for 10 years. But while I was in the university, I realized that I could not understand anybody who was speaking anything to me. And equally important is that I could not really carry on a conversation. So I thought that was really, really terrible experience. And later on, I had to work very, very hard, similar as what you were doing with Chinese, to really get to speak a little bit. And so that experience really turned me into how can people teach Chinese to other language learners. So for example, reading and writing, speaking and listening, all sorts of things. Because Chinese is a really old language and it is still well and alive. I think that fact is really amazing. So of the long history of its existence, it has accumulated a lot of information that offers a million ways to understand it. So for example, some characters are derived from pictures. So there are also radicals and components. And Chinese is a tonal language, and the invention of pinyin and existing of regional differences and the two overlapping writing systems, the simply classification process, the statistics, and there's so many. So when teaching Chinese, I think first of all, Chinese teachers need to appreciate these complexities and try to figure out the best way to present Chinese to English students or to students whose native languages are other than Chinese at the different levels. So comparing my English learning experience, I think it has a lot more nuances to it. I think that's one of the reasons that I became Chinese teacher, and because of the complexity of Chinese language, and I find it really interesting to teach this language. Because everybody likes to say Chinese is a very difficult language to learn. So for learners, it can be really difficult and boring to learn, or it can be really difficult and interesting to learn. And I think it's the other side of the same coin is also true. It's a very difficult language to teach, and it can be taught really boring in a difficult way, or it can be stimulating and inspiring to students. So I try my best to do the latter.
That's brilliant. And one thing I've noticed when I interview people on this podcast and ask them, why did you first get in? Because usually I'm interviewing learners of Chinese rather than teachers. And one of the main things that they tell me was their motivation for initially starting to learn Chinese was is characters. It's something that comes up again and again. I'm sure you've found that in your students. But at the same time, it's also one of the biggest challenges in terms of how to learn characters and how to become literate, being able to read in the first place. Is this something you found as well in terms of a major challenge your students face, and how have you helped them overcome it?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. I think a predominant question that is being often asked is, how many characters have you learned? So different variations of that same question could be, how many characters do you need to learn to become literacy? or how many characters do beginner students need to learn, or how many characters do you need to learn to read newspapers, things like that. And the focus is always on a number. That can be really misleading. And what I really hope to achieve that people need to focus on the differences between knowing a character from knowing how to use that character. So for example, you learn a character from a flashcard, it's actually not that difficult, but to learn that character, recognize that character, use that character in a context, that becomes really, really difficult. That will be the challenge. So I think if students can focus from away from accumulating more characters, but rather to have a more focus on reading and writing, I think their learning experience will be completely changed from boring accumulating characters to actually enjoy reading and writing some stories, but still difficult, but it's kind of a transformative to students' learning experience. So that's what I think about literacy on learning characters.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because a lot of learners, a trap that they tend to fall into is to just, like you say, go down the route of just trying to accumulate as many characters as possible, as many individual words as possible through the use of flashcards. And I had a previous guest on here who's an app developer called Carl Baker, who mentioned this point when he was on the podcast, that he, when he first began to learn Chinese, he did so just by drilling the first top 1,500 characters. And then when he found, he tried to read like stories, he, at the beginning, he found, well, he understood all of the individual characters, but he couldn't put anything together. He couldn't make anything out or understand anything that was going on. And it was only when he started using graded readers and simple material like that and mass reading that he began to kind of build up his comprehension skills. Is that something that you kind of recommend, like starting early on to like read simple stories, graded readers and that kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. And that is spot on. Actually, your guest is not alone. There are so many people out there who went through 1,000 characters, 2,000 characters and realized that they couldn't really read anything. So they really should start earlier in this process, because you don't need to have to wait until you learn 1,000 characters to start reading graded readers or anything. I think the reading process can start at as little as 70 characters, 100 characters. So starting from there, you can start reading something really interesting, short conversations, short stories, and gradually building up to your literacy level. If you wait, I mean, there's going to be a huge process, going to be so painful, just characters and characters. So don't wait. Start from the right beginning. As you accumulate characters, you start reading right away. So the difference is only short sentences, short stories, to more elaborated sentences and more elaborate stories.
Absolutely. One of the issues I have I've had when attempting to become literate in Chinese is that obviously you start with simple graded readers and you build up, but there comes a point when I think in order to achieve like the kind of literacy you would need to be like really comfortable with like a novel intended for adult Chinese people, it requires quite a lot of characters, and it requires quite a lot of like rare characters. Otherwise you're going to have to look up quite a lot of characters. How can we try and overcome that? I mean, do you think there's a room for kind of flashcards there to drill the rarest characters?
Well, I think that is probably a design problem on the graded readers, because there are so many graded readers out there. And from my experience, they all graded based on how many words used in each book or each article or something. But the problem is that each book or each article will use different words, different characters to write that book, write that article. So for example, one book is saying that the whole book is written with 400 characters or 400 words, which are considered as very beginner level. But then one student read this one rather comfortably and going to the other graded reader, which is also saying we only use 400 words. And then suddenly there are some names, perhaps names of people, names of places, and certain characters that's only fitting for that particular story. becomes new again. So that process, I think, is not necessary. There probably will be a better designing system to really think about how to categorize each graded readers based on maybe more elaborated ways of thinking how to differentiate from beginners to advanced readers. And also the categories on HSK, I also find some problems with that. For example, HSK6 supposed to be 3,000 characters, right? But the words they're giving is only 6,000. I mean, that's a huge discrepancy there. I mean, 3,000 characters probably can yield up 20,000 or maybe 30,000 words. How do you choose 6,000 out of 30,000 words and saying, okay, you only need to learn these 6,000 words and you'll be on the HSK6 level? So I find that really difficult to think about, to get my head around how the graded readers are actually grading, because most of them are really self-grading their graded readers. Different publishers will have different graded readers. I think that's one of the major things probably we can, as a whole community of Chinese learning community, we can think about how to straighten that thing out.
So you think that like it would be possible with better designing to basically achieve fluency and literacy in Chinese through graded readers building up slowly and getting to a place of literacy?
Absolutely.
I wanted to talk to you about writing, because this is something that's a topic that's relevant to the topic we're discussing today, which is the competition that you set up. But before we get into that, I wondered what challenges have your students faced in terms of writing, and how have you helped them overcome them? For me, like the biggest challenge, just from personal experience, is once I'd done a lot of reading, I would try and do my own writing, and I would find I could often communicate the message I wanted to, but not quite in exactly sort of using native-like constructions. I often sometimes end up falling back on English grammar a little bit, and I wouldn't necessarily violate any rules of Chinese grammar in the process, but it just wouldn't quite be expressed like a Chinese native speaker would express it. Is that an issue that your students have faced as well?
Actually, some of them, yes. I think that's probably largely because you don't really have many outlets to write. So for example, let's say listening and reading are two channels for students to get language input, and speaking and writing are the output. Most of the students have really a lot more opportunities to speak than to write, especially writing. Many students, especially the beginner students, have really very limited writing experience. So let's say writing experience does not include you make a sentence with a given word or given structure. This experience should not include rearrange some sentences into a paragraph, or describing a picture or video, or writing to pass an exam. So I think the writing experience, the real good writing experience, should be you write something freely that express your own ideas. So something really touches who you are in your soul. I think that experience is really valuable. So what I am doing in my class is I provide these opportunities for students to write to about themselves, about their ideas, and about what their experiences are. It's not a essay thing. I give you a title, you have to write 300 words for that or something like that, but rather it's free. I think this creative process makes a big difference. So when you're writing something which are really dear to you, and you will think really hard, and when you think really hard, you actually try to craft your message clearly and nicely. That is really the learning experience and the learning process that taken place in your brain. I think that is the pathway to be really good at writing.
Do you encourage your students to write from the beginning, or do you encourage them to wait till they've had a certain amount of input before trying to output?
I try to encourage them to write from the beginning, and they started writing with characters, about 50 characters, when they learned 50 characters to 70 characters. And then after that, they began to write more often and with more value embedded. Because when you're writing with 50 characters or 70 characters, you're only writing something what's happened in your life, very mundane daily stuff. But as you accumulated more characters, you begin to write something, what's your thinking is, although very simple, but you start from there and begin to build up your writing skills.
So was it these experiences then of teaching, reading and writing and seeing the progress in your students that inspired you then to come up with this idea of the writing competition then?
Yes, absolutely. So number one issue, I'd like to produce a shift from learning more characters to learning better. So last year I was thinking about this, how can I promote learning better than learning more characters? And one way, have to make sure, like, learning more does not mean you learning more characters. In a way, it's saying learning more characters should not be an advantage in this competition. So how can we do that? So eventually I think, oh, there is one way to fix that problem is to pick 320 characters as the limit. So writers can only use these 320 characters to write with. If you have learned more 2,000 characters, or these characters will not be useful in this competition. So in this way, I thought, wow, that will be opened up for the playing field, even for the beginner students. So 320 characters are roughly about 10% of the common characters used in today's print. So with that small amount of characters, show how well you can write. It's difficult to write, but it's not that difficult to write. And it's not as easy as it looks. So that's one way. The other way is to open up another outlet for students to write, to express themselves. And this is not a speaking competition, so you don't have to suffer stage fright. And you have plenty of time to prepare and to craft your message, to go back and forth. So I think that's also really important.
And this kind of ties in with your philosophy that the important thing isn't the number of characters, the volume of characters that you know, but your ability to work within a certain number of characters. So you may only know a few characters or a few hundred characters, but if you're able to manipulate them, if you're able to kind of use them effectively, then that's the thing that matters the most. I think this is kind of similar to my view of writing in general, because I have a similar ideas about writing in English, because a lot of people tend to think that the way to become a great writer is to memorize the dictionary and to know more words than anybody else. But in reality, I think the best writers often didn't necessarily use a huge range of vocabulary. And people like George Orwell, for example, he wrote specifically about, in his philosophy of what writing should be like, that you should never use a big word if a simpler one would do. So if you read his writing and many of the best writers, they actually just were very effective at using maybe a more limited vocabulary.
Yeah, absolutely. And think about the poetry writers. So I think the poetry, sometimes, especially the modern poetry, Chinese modern poetry, they use really simple words, really short sentences. But then the feelings expressed in these poetries are profound. And I think that's something we need to think about as teachers and as students when we're dealing with Chinese language. It's something absolutely, as what you said, it's not particularly about how many characters you've learned, it's how well you can use these characters.
So the competition is open to all learners of all levels, is that right?
Yes, that's right. That is open to everyone. So there's no limit on age or nationality. And I hope that is a platform that could connect people, so people can read beginner students what beginner students write, and people can read what advanced students write. And I think that's that was really fun. So talking about the fun, that's a fun thing for me. And I think for students, it's also important to have some fun, because Chinese language is difficult to learn and it's difficult to teach. And if you miss the fun part, that is a real disappointment. That's just not really the best way.
A lot of listeners might wonder, they might be really interested in entering the competition. And some of them might be thinking, am I good enough to enter? I've never written a story before, or I've never really written very much of anything before. What would you say to those listeners?
I would say to them, go online. There is a free online audiobook about the winners of last year's competition. And you will hear, or you can read a sample story, and you can hear what the other contestants wrote about last year. There's some really beautiful, simple poems are there. There are really some nice, really wonderful stories are there. And you'll be inspired and you'll see, okay, you can write it too. So the only effort they need to take is start writing and make sure they need to review it again and again, and maybe do some corrections, and maybe to think about whether you use this word or that word, or use this character or that character. So spend some time to craft your message and you can do it.
When will the competition start then? And when is the deadline for entry?
The submission starts on August the 1st and it closes on September the 16th. So qualified entries will be published online for everyone to read. So the winners are selected by public votes on Twitter. And the top three have their own prizes, respectively. So let me mention this year's prize includes subscriptions from the Chairman's Bao, Du Chinese. These two are graded readers, and the Super Memo, which is a software to help you to memorize words and the structures. And the best 15 to 20 entries will be published as a book. That is the bragging right. And I think that is perhaps the coolest prize. The winners will count the votes on the Twitter. So the winners got the most, the people who got the most votes on Twitter will be the winner. So that I have probably should mention something, because we're voting it on Twitter. So I have got some inquiries about whether it is fair or not for people who have no or very few followers on social media. So this is a very legitimate concern. I think the question is really saying, can we prevent people from winning simply because there's no more people? For example, if you write, you have like thousands of followers on Twitter, maybe that will guarantee you the top prize. So I really hope that won't happen. So after really thought about it last year, and I think how to prevent things like that happen, eventually three measures were in place. So the first one is, so one vote, each person must vote for the best four writings. So not just one, but four. So if you only vote for one, then your vote won't be accepted. And also invite as many people as possible to vote. And also keep the identities of all candidates anonymous. So that way, I'm trying to protect all the identities of contestants, and also create some more and unbiased votes across the board. So last year I invited my neighbors, my family, my friends, and asked them all to ask their friends to vote. I think the results were satisfactory. So this year I hope more people will vote. So if somebody really had a talent to write, and I hope that talent will not go unrecognized.
Absolutely. And where can people go to find out more about the competition online?
They can go on mlsubmaster.com and then there they can find the Chinese Writing Contest, or probably they can just search on Google, typing in Chinese Writing Contest. I think it's probably the first or the second entry of the search list.
Perfect. Well, that's brilliant. And I'll include a link to that in the description. And I'm really excited to be able to be collaborating on this project. I think it's a wonderful initiative to bring learners together and to inspire people to enjoy the joys of Chinese literacy and reading and writing. So thank you once again for coming on the podcast to share that with us.
Thank you, Misha. It's really awesome to be here.
Hey there. Thanks for listening to this episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. If you're currently looking to improve your Mandarin speaking skills, you might like to check out my Peak Mandarin newsletter, run by me and my friend Will Hart. We share exactly what you need to do to become fluent in Chinese based on our experience. Subscribe to the newsletter and we'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, Lessons from a Chinese Learning Phenomenon, which tells the story of exactly how Will Hart learned to speak near native level Chinese Chinese within a 1.5-year period, how I put his techniques into practice to become fluent myself, and how you can too. To subscribe to the newsletter, you can go to peakmandarin.com or click the link in the description. That's all for now. Until next episode, goodbye.